principles of communication. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in just a few moments, but let's first of all read verses 15 to 17 of Hebrews chapter 13. Would you follow along, please, as I read, beginning with verse 15. By him, and it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You'll see in verse 15, the sacrifice of your lips. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. You know, some have a hard time with this one. It's a sacrifice. Yeah, what do you do during the song service when the hymn is announced? Do you give praise to God, giving thanks to his name? I would encourage each of you, every time we sing, to sing as unto the Lord, the sacrifice of your lips. Don't stand there and look around. Don't think about something else. Think about what we're singing together. Our audience is the Lord. Our audience is not the person next to you. Our audience is the Lord. That's why we sing the kind of music we sing here, because it's not to entertain me. It is to please him. And then you see in verse 16, the sacrifice of your labor. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. Then we see in verse 17, the sacrifice of your loyalty. Some people have a problem with verse 17. Obeying those that have the rule over you and submitting yourselves. They watch for your soul as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You know, it's easy to be a grief to those in authority, to your pastor. Think also of verse 7 of the same chapter. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their behavior. This is a problem for some people. They have a problem with authority. But there is a sacrifice we are especially loath to make because it involves our labor. It's the sacrifice of our labor in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. But not only pleased, it says well pleased. I trust you want to please the Lord. I trust you want to live a life that is pleasing to him. The Bible talks a lot about pleasing God. But you can also be well-pleasing to God. When the New Testament records God being well-pleased, it is in reference to his son, Jesus Christ, when he says, when he is being baptized in Matthew chapter 3, this voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well-pleased." But what about us? What about you? Colossians 3:20, this would be to the children. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is not just pleasing unto the Lord, but well-pleasing unto the Lord. Romans chapter 12, and I'd like you to go there because it's hard to see this. It's hard to quote it and get it unless you actually see it, because there's a word that's translated acceptable here, which is the same word, well-pleased, in Hebrews 13, verse 16. So Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to insert the word well pleased where this word actually takes place twice in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know this passage. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the same word translated acceptable that is well-pleasing in Hebrews 13, 16. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. Now, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, again, we'll see this word translated accepted or acceptable, but I'll read it with a more literal meaning of well-pleasing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Wherefore we labor. Notice the word labor there. We're looking at labor this morning. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Our labor, ladies and gentlemen, our labor, it ought to be well-pleasing to him. Why? Because we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The word bad is talking about things that are worthless. The labor that you perform, is it good or is it worthless? And that brings us back to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Communicating. The series is called Principles of Communication. And I've taken this title from a college level course with the same title. But that college level course has to do with speech. Whereas in this passage, the word communicate has to do with sharing, giving, fellowship. Communicating materially, it has to do with our giving. The principle of stewardship, folks, states that all I have belongs to God and I am merely administrating what already belongs to him. Even as Brother Allen prayed this morning when we took the offering. That's the basis of communicating. We're going to look at the principle of giving, the fact that joy comes through giving, not receiving, and that's the joy of communicating. We're going to look at the principle of sowing. These are in weeks to come. The fact that you can only reap what you sow and no more. That's the law of communicating. The principle of tithing or first fruits, the fact that man has done this throughout time and it is God's method. That's the means of communicating. Then we're going to look at the principle of acting, the fact that one can give the false impression that he is a giver. The Holy Spirit knows it to be a lie. That's the facade of communicating. But the communicating here in Hebrews 13, 16 is Christians giving sacrificially to help other Christians and to promote the work of the gospel. I rarely preach on giving at Westside. You know why? You folks are so generous. And the giving here is tremendous. But that doesn't mean that there aren't some who need to hear it. And that doesn't mean that the folks who are already given need some encouragement too. It is the giving that Paul is grateful for in Philippians 4, 11 to 18. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 18. He says this in Philippians 4, 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And you'll notice that the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, earlier on in that chapter, talks about being content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's interesting how that giving goes along with contentment. You will find that somebody who does not give is rarely content. Back to Philippians 4. Now verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction." I was in affliction and you folks helped me. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church," there's the word again, "communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Here we are going through the series on Thessalonians. And Paul says that even when I was in Thessalonica, it was you folks who communicated with me. And he says this in verse 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Isn't it interesting that Paul is saying that your gifts, yes, that helps me, but you know what? That abounds to your account. The giver is the one who receives the blessing. And then he says this in verse 18, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Well-pleasing to God. And you'll notice there that not only was Paul thankful, he says their sacrifice was acceptable. Well-pleasing to God. By the way, notice the next verse, verse 18. We like to quote that verse all by itself, but in the context, you'll note that verse 18 is in reference to those who are good communicators. Look at verse 18, or verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." To whom is that in reference? That is in reference to those who are communicating, and they're communicating, their giving is well-pleasing to God. "To them, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He is speaking to these who are communicating well. Folks, when it comes to our communicating, our sacrificial giving, we are either pleasing God, well-pleasing God, or we are pleasing ourselves. And I say again, this series is not because we need more money here at Westside. Everybody could always use more money. We would love to fund more missionaries, more outreaches. But this series is because believers misunderstand what the Bible says about stewardship. Our thinking has been influenced by media reports instead. There was an article written some years ago. It appeared in Agape Press. It said this: "The Christian world is no different from the secular world when it comes to finances, says Christian financial counselor Larry Burkett." This is obviously some years ago because he has since passed away. But he says only 3% of Christians actually tithe today. Get that. 37% of those attending evangelical churches don't give anything at all to their local church in any way. Burkett cites some sad statistics. Over the last decade, giving overall in Christianity has increased about 20%. Now, this is probably written 10 or 15 years ago. But recreational spending increased 125%. And debt spending increased 550%. Joe Miller did a church study, and he says, national studies of several kinds of evangelical denominations have indicated that 20% contribute 80% of the income, 30% contribute the remaining 20%, and 50% give nothing. I believe that the giving potential here at Westside is below where it should be. I know some give sacrificially, are good communicators, while there are some, I believe, who give little or nothing. And I believe I could be pretty accurate by assessing stewardship in other areas other than money. Because when we talk about stewardship, it's not just about money. Joe Miller also said that studies have found that most income in a church is contributed by those 55 years old or above. I wonder why that is, and I think it's this. You get to that age and you realize, you know what? I'm not going to be here much longer. And I need to start laying aside some money where it really counts. I need to start investing. I believe some believers have been lulled into laziness with stewardship of their money by what they have been learning from American society. A society that has been taught class envy. In other words, let the more well-to-do people do the giving. If I were president, and I'm not running, by the way, but if I were president, it would be a tax that everybody pays. I don't care if you're on the street. Everybody pays the same percentage. Everybody. If you make $10 million a year, same percentage as the guy who makes $10,000 a year, same percentage. But we have been taught, folks, because you've been learning this from the media, you've been learning this from our society, let those who are wealthy take the burden. Well, who's wealthy? Who's wealthy? Where does that cut off? Well, let those who don't have a family do it. You see, we've learned from our socialist society how we practice giving. And that attitude has infiltrated the church. It's socialism. It's communism. One of the things that disappointed me in the election in 2012 was the fact that Mitt Romney didn't make more out of the 47% who don't do anything. Instead, he backed off and went into hiding because of that statement. No, you made an accurate statement. Now make hay out of it. Let people know this is what's happening. A revealing test of your trust and faith in God is what you do with your money. You claim to be saved simply by trusting in God to save you from hell. Then do you trust God when he says to communicate as he does here in this passage and other passages, and as a result, he will bless you for it? Do you trust him for that? Our giving should be an act of worship rather than trying to fund something. There's nothing wrong with funding something. In fact, we may be doing something like that soon here. But our giving should be an act of worship. Good communicating is acknowledging to God that I am not just saying with my lips that he is great, powerful, and able to supply my needs. I am saying it with my pocketbook too. And I am saying it with my time. In other words, it's more than the sacrifice of my lips. That's easy compared to the giving of your living. Your labor, in other words. A sacrifice of your labor. It's interesting that the writer of Hebrews says, but to do good and to communicate forget not. Why does he have to say that? Obviously, it's because our tendency is to forget, or literally neglect or overlook. So, the sacrifice of our lips in verse 15, this is praise, that's thanksgiving. Verse 16, the sacrifice of our labor, doing good and communicating are synonymous in that verse. Verse 17, the sacrifice of our loyalty, proper obedience to spiritual leaders gives those leaders a joy, and it's also profitable to you. All three of these are closely related. They are intertwined. If an individual hesitates to make sacrifice in one of these three areas, it's unlikely that he will make sacrifice in one of the other areas. And note the context of this passage, verses 12 to 14. Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Here, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was on your behalf. He sacrificed himself for your sins. Verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. If we're going to be identified with Jesus Christ, we must bear his reproach. This is the reproach of the cross. Even as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called the power of God. Folks, we are not here to win friends and influence people to advance our goals, but to advance his goals, his agenda. And that statement alone will help us when you think about the election. Thy kingdom come. Not my kingdom, thy kingdom. Verse 14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You know, in the adult Bible class, we're looking at the book of Revelation. And we seek a continuing city that is yet to come. What is that continuing city? Adult Bible class, New Jerusalem. We have no continuing city here. We must realize that nothing here is permanent. That which we are looking forward to is yet future. I should not expect to find sympathy or approval from this world. I am a stranger to this world. It is not my home. Our lack of communicating materially betrays an attitude that says, I think I have a continuing city here, and I am investing in it. The only guaranteed return is invested in the city we seek to come. Verse 15 has the all-important words, by him, therefore. That word therefore always takes you back to the preceding verses because you have to see why therefore is there. For. What is it therefore? And it's going back to the previous verses. And the word by is literally through. Through Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God. Same verse occurs, the same idea occurs in verse 21. That he might make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. The sacrifice of our lips, the sacrifice of our labor, the sacrifice of our loyalty. Let me ask you this morning, do you desire to please God? Do you desire to please him? Would you be willing to say to God, I am open, dear Lord, to what your word says to me about communicating, about my stewardship? Are you willing to say that?